You know, I want to say thanks again to our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, for bringing you this show. They just like to find physical therapists' jobs. So where do you want to go? So how about this? Sign up at ptpinecast.com, and Arias is going to hook you up with a $500 gift card to Southwest Airlines. Where do you want to fly? That's because Arias can get you a job anywhere in the U.S. So hit ptpinecast.com and then decide where you want to go when you win. All from our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Had a great time at Stony Brook University on Long Island talking to some faculty with students in attendance on the PT Pinecast College Tour. If you want PT Pinecast to do a show at your school, well, visit our website, ptpintcast.com. There's just too much to put into one episode, so we're breaking this one up into multiple parts. Cheers.
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pintcast.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, I think we're ready to go. Are you guys ready to go is the question. Yes. Best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. We are live on the road, the PT Pinecast College Tour, out on Strong Island. Right, guys? Stony Brook University, home of the Sea Wolves. I've got to see a sea wolf. I've been looking around campus. I did see a giant building that was shaped like a dice on stilts or something. I don't know where we are, but we're in the PT department. We're going to talk to some professors. We're going to hear from the students, and we want to get inside the minds of the faculty here at Stony Brook University. So without further delay, we'll talk to our first guest. Our first guest graduated from the University of Scranton at the Royals, right? The Royals, yeah. Master of PT in 2000, her DPT from Rocky Mountain University of Health Professions in '08, and currently enrolled in a Doctor of Education program at the University of St. Augustine to obtain her terminal doctor degree. It sounds like scary, terminal. Susie Mialli, everybody, let's hear it for her. Just a bunch of students looking for some points on the next test, isn't it? Yeah. So thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to start with the first topic, which is something that is near and dear to my heart since I graduated about a year ago. PT education, what's it need to have? What do you bring to it? What does it need?
So I'm a big believer in active learning. What I've been trying to do since I got here, so I think everybody when they start out as a PT and they want to go into university and tell everybody what they know, you know? They're like
verbally vomit your information.
Yes.
As fast as you can. Look how smart I am.
Right.
Right.
This is all the stuff that I know here. I'm passing it on to you. And so, but really, in education, what we need to do is get everybody to kind of figure out those things for themselves and facilitate that. So I feel like the EDD program that I'm in has really helped me to figure out exactly how to do that. And so I've tried to now structure my courses so that it's not just me vomiting information on them, although sometimes that still happens just a little.
Hold on a second. True or false? Sometimes PT school feels like taking a sip from a fire hose, right? I just want to take a little bit of the information home. Like sometimes I was like, I'd like study for 11 hours. My mom would call, like, what'd you learn? Like, nothing. But you're saying make it interactive, and why? What's the reasoning behind that besides the fact that it's fun?
Well, I think that once when you figure something out for yourself, that's kind of how you learn best. So, and that's what the research shows also. So it's much better to have the students like structure the classroom activities, not just throw them in and be like, here, do this. You know, it's structuring it so that you have a plan, you have exactly what they need to know and what they need to figure out and how they're going to figure it out, and then you kind of help facilitate their learning. And to me, that makes a huge difference. Not only does it make a huge difference into what they actually retain, but I think it makes a huge difference in how enjoyable the class is. I also bring a little crazy.
Yeah. We're in New York, it's Long Island, we get a little crazy. I heard about the road out here. How many people were in a car accident today? Rear-ended, yeah. Legitimately, there are four people raising their hands.
There were five, I think.
Five.
In the car. They were all late to my class. They were all losing points. They don't know that yet.
But we know that. I mean, you've got a unique perspective, because right now you are a student who is also teaching PT students.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like, you know, commiserate on stuff, but you can also say, hey, the research shows us something, and we all know we want, you know, EBP in PT, a lot of letters there. But if we know the research says this is how people learn better, we should change how we teach so we can change how we learn.
And so that's kind of what I've been trying to do in the classroom and what I want to study, actually. So for my dissertation, I really want to look at, are these methods working, and are they working in PT labs? Like, do they learn better when they figure stuff out themselves, or do they learn better when we demonstrate a technique and then they do it themselves? Like, they mimic us.
I mean, we're always, did you guys do those, like, those icebreaker games in the beginning of PT school, like your learning style and your colors and the blues and the orange? Yeah, I was like a blue, I was like the Mets, it was blue and orange maybe a little bit, but that's great that you're out there doing that and applying it at the exact same time.
I think the other piece of it too is that you want to make sure that you're appealing to every type of learner. So it's not just one technique in the classroom. There's a bunch of different things that you do.
Well, I mean, I feel like we're learning a lot now, and we'll talk about pediatrics a little bit, but yeah, pediatrics. Look at that. I said the word pediatrics, I get a woo. You don't get that everywhere. I like that. But when I was a kid, I was labeled, now I didn't have a diagnosis or anything, but I was labeled like I talked too much and I was disruptive, like smart, but didn't apply himself.
That never happened to
me. Yeah, but had we known the research now, it'd been like, well, he just needs to be taught to differently. It's not necessarily, you know, the student's fault necessarily.
Right.
Sometimes I was a complete slacker. I'm not saying that.
There are many of us who procrastinate, and that's okay. I feel for the procrastinators, because I am one of those procrastinators. But I think that appealing to different people is a good thing. Yeah.
That's how, I mean, we do. We cater, I mean, coming from my communications, you know, background, you cater your communication to your audience. I wouldn't speak in front of my grandmother how I talk in front of my best friend, or I would have a mouthful of palm olive soap.
Right.
So besides just getting your EDD, you do some work with oncology and physical therapy. What's that? Tell us about it.
Yes. So I worked at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center for about 6 years, and I helped to develop their pediatric oncology program. So I am a pediatric certified specialist through the APTA. So pediatrics was my love. Pediatrics and like acute care, hospital-based stuff. And so I combined those two together at Sloan Kettering, and ultimately transitioned that into a role in the APTA. So I'm currently the chair of the Pediatric Oncology Special Interest Group within the oncology section.
All right, so I'll give you you got a platform, and we're always looking for that drop off after people graduate, and first 5 years we kind of lose 50% or more. Why should someone not only be a member of the APTA, but let's go a little further, why should they be a member of a section, and then to be a member of a SIG doesn't cost you anything more, but you get more. So why should someone join your SIG?
Well, I think that joining the APTA, number one, and joining some of the sections, like, you really get access to the journals, you get access to a lot of the information that the APTA puts out, you get discounts on courses and things like
that.
So all of that
students.
Stuff is a good thing and a good reason to be involved in the APTA. It also gives you some more information about how to advocate for the profession, which is a really good thing as well. In terms of joining a SIG, it's nice because when you're involved in a SIG, or at least mine, because it's a smaller SIG, you really can get down and dirty with the topic, and you can really try to influence how people think about this topic. So
rabbit holey.
Yeah.
But just you use that word, you know, just, or you kind of, you know, minimize the size of the SIG, but you can get a lot out of that, because now there's no 6 degrees of separation from you and the head of the SIG or the head of the section. I think that's the coolest part about being in the section, is you now have this other group of geeks who are just as geeked out about whatever your geekdom.
Right.
You're like, I'm with my people. But I think that's why I joined a SIG. Yeah, the research is cool, but, you know, the internet and whatever. I think the people, the human element of it is best.
It is. I've met a lot of great people through my involvement in the SIG.
Yeah. And didn't you do some stuff with The Edge?
Yeah. So I'm also...
Describe what The Edge is, because I think people like have heard the term, but I think it's awesome and they should know more about it.
Edge is the evidence database to guide effectiveness. And so what that is, it was started in the research section of the APTA, and it is... a way to look at outcome measures that we use in physical therapy and assess their psychometric properties and their clinical utility. So they kind of rate, the EDGE Task Force, they rate these outcome measures in terms of how good they are to use in the clinic and how good they are to use in research.
You guys like science it.
Yes.
And then you break down the science for people like me who are like, just tell me which is the best one, please.
Yes.
Because I want to be really great, but sometimes looking at things with like plus minuses and numbers, I'm like, no. But you science that.
Right. We science it, we break it down, and then we provide a recommendation with like an overall usefulness of the tool. So I've done a couple for the breast cancer EDGE, and now we're doing the first ever one for the pediatric oncology EDGE task force.
You're like Zagat. Restaurant ratings.
Yeah.
Or like Yelp. Not so much like Yelp, because it's not real user. You're like really measuring this
stuff.
It's more
that.
Like Zagat.
I'm going to use
Zagat.
That.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
So every time we have a guest on, we allow them to take shots.
Okay.
Parting shots.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum Manual Therapy.
Taking the orthopedic clinical specialty examination? To pass the OCS, it's important to understand clinical prediction rules, clinical practice guidelines, and recent research. Optum Manual Therapy has the premier OCS prep course that gets you from start to passing step by step.
Test out 3 free study guides right now at optumfellowship.com.
So okay. A parting shot of wisdom, something that's near and dear to your heart. If you had the ear of the entire profession for a second, what would you want them to remember?
To not just be a PT, but to try and be the best PT that you can. So when you go out there, like, be the change, you know? So if you go into a hospital and you see people and then are just, yeah, I'm going to go walk the knee in two, you know, be the one that says, no, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to see what this person really needs. And to sort of be the person who's going to make the changes, you know, don't be afraid to speak up for what you believe in.
Susie and Miali, everybody.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat.
At PT Pintcast.
And online at ptpintcast.com.
Want to say thanks to Fox Rehabilitation for bringing you the PT Pintcast. Fox Rehabilitation is a clinician-owned and operated professional practice of full-time physical, occupational, and speech therapists across 15 states with more than 950 clinicians. Combined, we have more than 200 years of clinically excellent leadership. Our mission? To rehabilitate lives by believing in the strength of people, empowering our people to facilitate and provide clinically excellent care to our clients, allowing them to achieve what they once thought impossible. Are you a fit for Fox? Find out at foxrehab.org.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. Still live at Stony Brook University on Long Island. I think the students are still here. Our next guest was named for her grandmother, in case anyone was curious. Bonus points on the next test. She has a dance background and had no interest whatsoever in pediatrics. After taking the scenic route through higher education, she arrived in PT school and was signed to a pediatric setting for the first clinical affiliation and has never looked back. She has her PCS and just completed her TDPT. Next on PT Pinecast, Agnes Farrow. Agnes, welcome to the show.
Oh,
there we go.
Thank you.
We got to talk in the microphone. She's like so relaxed that she forgot she needed to talk in the microphone. I like that. But that's what I'm looking for.
I'm about to lay down.
She's about to lay down. That would be a first on the show, but I like it. So, Agnes, doing a little background about you, we came across the Dream Project. And this seems, yeah. We've never.
Me boy, are we going there?
Let's go there.
The Dream Project is something that everybody in this room has heard of from me because I am, it's my calling. It's what I should be doing, what I am doing.
It's your hell yeah.
It's my what now?
It's your hell yeah. It's your thing that
it's
you.
It's my hell yeah, Jimmy. So DREAM stands for Dancers Realize Excellence Through Arts and Movement. And do you want to know where I came up with that?
I actually do.
Yeah, I bet you do. So the delightful ones, my children, Sophia and Daniel, were sleeping in the back of the car at King Cullen, a local grocery store. I had an epiphany. Let's just call it an epiphany. Exactly. And I thought to myself, there's something that we have to do here. And it's a dance program that's fully included, not just a dance program for children with Down syndrome, not just a dance program for children in the autistic spectrum. That this ended up being, and it started off with a pilot research project. As research goes, you sort of define what this is going to look like. This is going to be for children. I mean, I literally could picture the kids that I've worked with over the past 25 years and thought, oh, yeah, this is perfect for so-and-so and so-and-so. And this really bridged off of the program that we had at PS199 in New York City, where I was a PT. I could picture those children, and the fact that I could see the difference for them, I felt we shouldn't have ended it. I really felt like we needed to continue. So hence the Dream Program, and what ended up walking through the door, or rolling through the door, were children who were completely nonverbal, completely non-motoric, really no volitional movement, and they wanted to dance. And so there we were, sort of looking around at each other going, okay. And then I just sort of jumped forward and said, well, let's dance. Like, let's just do it. And it's really sort of expanding on what we already know and what the APTA has set out for us, and that is we really need to improve participation. So no matter what that looks like for that child.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't mention this in my intro, but for the last year, I was actually
dance.
In... I dance, yeah. Well, that was one of the mantras, that every child can dance. I'm like, not everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe poorly, yeah. It doesn't have to be good, exactly. But I was working in pediatrics for the first year after graduation, and I saw little nuances of what you were just saying. Patient, nonverbal. But if you get them moving, and I would, you know, you get an hour with a patient, throw the old, you know, Apple Music on there and crank it up a little bit, and you'd find, you could figure out what they even like, because they move more.
Yeah.
Isn't that shocking? They move more when they're happy. I mean, that's not rocket science.
Yeah. And so now I'm finishing up an IRB approved study, and it's looking at the perceived benefits, because I think it's one thing for us to say, and we have students here in this lovely audience who helped volunteer with the program, and there's one student who's actually helping me, Kelly the Great. I got to give a shout out to her, Kelly. Yeah. Simon, because she's really stepped forward and helping with a qualitative research, which is like jumping into an abyss. She's looking to me, and I'm looking right back at her, like, girl, I don't know, like, what do we do next? But it really, I think, the game changer for all of the people that were able to volunteer, and I really do hope the students here at Stony Brook will continue to volunteer, is to see it firsthand. I will, you know, great talk show, great pint cast, but to come and see it and be a part of it and see the effect, not only on the children, but on their families, has really been life-changing. Mary Jo Kalita, who is one of the professors here, came and she volunteered when we were a little bit light on volunteers, and she instantly jumped right in and was able to participate. So it's my, what is it?
Your hell yeah.
My hell yeah.
Yeah. We take a service trip in our third year at Marymount University, and I got a chance to go to Costa Rica and work in an orphanage for 2 weeks. But
sorry,
you see
but that.
That
does not sound shabby.
That was not bad. And we even did this. I mean, if you guys should start that program quickly, especially for the third years. But the third week, the week after we left, was spring break, so we stayed. So that wasn't also not as shabby. But what you're saying is when you have to jump in. You know, I wasn't necessarily thinking about pediatrics when I went on that trip. I didn't have an affiliation in it. And I just figured, well, I needed to be more qualified. Well, qualification is like jump in and figure it out.
We have programs here. So Professor Paul Neil Kajuko, forget it, Paul Neil. I just did my best. That's all you're going to get. They did a trip. They went to Africa, and then a group went to Haiti.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think that's the beautiful part about being on the faculty here is that I'm not a standalone. This is not just a program that I've started and nobody else is doing this. Dr. Sharon Martino runs Fit Kids for Life. Dr. Ray McKenna runs Play Fit, Stay Fit, which is survivors of cancer who are returning to an active lifestyle and getting them back and engaged with their peers. So this is not a standalone. This is somebody who is very thankful to be in this environment and to go to somebody like Dr. Sue Ann Sisto in the beginning, knock, 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 and say, do you know, I have this program that I'd really like to look at a little bit closer. So me, lucky, lucky, lucky.
Let's hear for that program. I just want to clap after that.
This is Agnes's baby, and she's fantastic.
Yeah. I'll be honest, though. I mean, all the big, hairy, audacious goal things that you have do start with those knocks on the door and someone sitting down and saying, you know, I kind of got this idea. What would happen? If I didn't have a professor who thought it would be a great idea to have one of her students drink beer and interview people, which, if you put it like,
we wouldn't be here.
It doesn't sound like, even when I say it now, it doesn't sound like a great pitch. But she said, I don't know what that is, but let's go try it. I mean, I think that what she pitched to me is that's what a professor should do, even if you don't know where it's going to go. I don't know. Let's go try it.
Yeah, and I have to say, Dr. Lori Quinn up at Teachers College has been there really from the get-go. We've been doing some research about goal writing for the school-based physical therapist, which is clearly so exciting. That's why, yes.
Well, so. I was going to bring that up next, goal setting. Do work in goal setting. I'll be honest. That was actually something very hard for me.
It's hard for everybody.
Okay,
it's hard for everybody. And I torture them by making them all do it, but I don't care. Too bad for you.
But I've never met somebody who actually, like, focuses.
I drank from the Kool-Aid. I don't know
goal
how.
Goal setting Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So explain how you got into goal setting Kool-Aid.
Do you know what happened? I'll tell you, Jimmy, me boy. Let me tell you what happened.
I got a nickname on my own show.
So I was working with a child who had a very high mandate, and I said to the parents at the IEP meeting, no, he doesn't really need all this service. And they said, prove it. And so I went back and looked at the IEP, and guess what? There were these horrific goals of child will sit with an erect chunk, you know, child will blah, blah, blah. And really, it was just that dawning of, we have no other voice. We have no other voice except for our documentation. So it doesn't matter if you're going into school-based, if you're wherever you're going to work, your voice is reflected by what you write down. And now with all of the research showing that goal setting, if it's collaborative, if it's meaningful, if it's objectively measurable, I mean, you're doing what you intend to do, which is doing right by your patients.
We need it to be meaningful, and it's got to be measurable.
Yes, baby, so you're singing to the choir. Go ahead, keep singing
right there.
To me.
I mean, I'm trying to get points on a test for me at this point, guys. You're on your own. Just trying to make sure I pass. But now we're going more towards, you know, reimbursement for outcomes. And if you can't write a great goal and achieve it, then where are we going to go?
Yeah, this morning I was on another panel, interagency, and it was looking at bridging the gap. And that was the name of the conference. And it was so fantastic because it was listening to parents and administrators and everybody. And it wasn't just children. It was really looking at that individual with disabilities and their lifespan, independent living. You know, just the whole big picture. What does that look like? And everybody is speaking the same language, but almost in different tongues. It's nobody's interpreting what everybody's saying. So pretty motivating for me because I feel like, you know, this is the knock on the door. Another knock on the door.
That's where PTs play have a great opportunity.
Exactly.
To translate between all, especially in a school-based system, between, you know, parent and child
teacher.
And school and teacher and all that. We have a great opportunity to do it. Sometimes we do a great job and sometimes we don't. But the fact that there is a panel just on that, that's good news. It's
great.
Yeah. Giving back, that's something you're really big on. Why is it important? Why should people in this profession give back?
You know, somebody was just talking to me, a student, a PT student, and they were saying, you know, how they have concerns about paying off student loans. And
by the way, they're coming. I'm just putting that out there to the students.
So I said, after paying mine off, I'm back again. It's like Jaws, you know, ba-dum, ba-dum, you know, just when you thought it was safe, like you're back again. But I think that for me, as much as you give back to this profession is as much as you get back as a person. So I cannot imagine being myself or being the clinician that I am, the mom that I am, the wife, partner, daughter, any of it without putting that first. And that is, I'm not a piece of paper. I'm a human being who really wants to help you. I mean, everybody in this room applied to PT school and you all y'all said that you wanted to help people. And I think that we lose sight of that, and that's such a dang shame, because it's really going that extra mile. And in Psych Soch 1, they were talking about advocating, and when I asked the students, what does that mean? I don't think we know what that means anymore. I think you know you're going to refer to somebody else, but what about following through? What about making sure that that patient is, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing? So for me, giving back is because I'm so thankful, deeply, deeply thankful to be in this profession.
Yeah, we have to clap for that. Are you kidding me? Yeah. It's my go-to story, that trip in Costa Rica, my third year, but I owe them money with how much I got out of that. You know what I mean? Like, I owe them way more than they got out of me for 2 weeks. And I've told this before on the show. I thought about quit. I walked in my chair's office twice and said, I'm quitting. And she talked me, you know, off the ledge. And then I went on that trip and still didn't know where I fit. And that trip showed me. So that was the giving back. But I'll tell you what you just said at the end there. You get more.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you owe it and you want to do it again. Yeah. So that's great. Parting shot time. You ready?
This is the Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum.
Optum Manual Therapy offers a certification in orthopedic manual therapy and a manual therapy fellowship program.
Now with locations in Dallas,
San Antonio,
Houston,
Scottsdale,
and St. Louis.
If you want to be a certified orthopedic manual therapist or complete a fellowship in manual therapy,
visit them at optumfellowship.com.
You can pick who the audience is for the parting shot. Is it students, the profession, anybody? What's words of wisdom you want to leave them with?
But I just gave them, Jimmy.
We want more wisdom.
more wisdom
per ounce.
I would say never stop asking the question, because it is somebody's, your patient is somebody's child. It is somebody's daughter. It is your father. It is your mother. It is somebody important to somebody else. And as important as that person is to somebody else, that's how important they should be to you. So never stop asking the questions. That individual deserves your best all the time. So I would say never stop asking the question.
Agnes, let's hear it for her. Want to thank our sponsors, RS Medical Staffing, for allowing us to come out here and give away some free t-shirts. You guys sign up for the free t-shirts? Those guys will get you hooked up. If you're looking to start paying off those student loans, they can get you a job. And I know I was talking to some students from Stony Brook here about where you guys wanted to go next. They have travel assignments in all 50 states. They can get you hooked up. It's ariusmedical.com. It's AureusMedical.com. I've done this a couple times, so I don't have to read it. Continuing education, they get you licensed and credentialed wherever you're going. They do the work for you. And when I first started talking about this, people were like, well, how much does it cost to have them find me a job? That's not how it works. They're just going to find you. They find you. They do all the work for you. You go. They find you the assignment. You go. You're done. Agnes is like, where can I go?
Susan and I are signing up. We're signing up.
You're planning for the next. So I want to thank those guys for hooking us up. And we got some goniometers to give away. Nothing makes. I mean, I try to give goniometers away on the street. No dice. You come to a PT school, those things go like hotcakes. So thanks to Arius Medical Staffing.
The PT Pinecast is powered by Smart Tools, the next generation of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. The fastest-growing approach to IASTM is Smart Tools, from high-quality American-made tools. Smart Tools. Find them online at smarttoolsplus.com. The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Our home on the internet.
PTPinecast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.